Hello, everybody, and welcome to CyberSafe News and Views. My name is Lee Frazier, and I'll be your guide. Today, we wanted to do a different format. We're really going to do more of an introduction to part of our team to just make it more personal. And then we're going to review one of the things that we do for small business owners, for healthcare organizations, and that's a device review. We'll define it, and we'll tell you why it's important and give you all the information that if you want to do this yourself, you'll have enough to be able to do it. So we'll do the introductions, we'll do that device review interview, and then we'll go into the news of the week, which, wow, if you haven't paid attention, do you have a American Express card? Do you do business with Microsoft? I mean, everyone's out there to get you, it seems. So let's start out. My name's Lee Frazier. I'm the founder of ChiroSafe, CyberSafe, and CyberSafe News and Views. So I really have a passion about helping small business owners, small companies, healthcare organizations to be safe online. And that's really me giving back because I had other medical issues when I was younger. That I was really helped out by different organizations, and it made me very passionate about giving back and helping. So we have the knowledge, we have the capability, we like to be able to help organizations like yours. Whether you're doing HIPAA, whether you're doing PCI compliance, or you just want to be safe online, that's what we do. So a personal bit of information on me, I love cars. It doesn't have to be a new car. It doesn't have to be a sports car. It doesn't have to be a big car. It doesn't have to be a small car. It just has to be a car. If you ask me, what do I want? I want one more. If I can't have one more, I want a new one or a different one. I frequently introduce myself as, hi, my name is Lee, and I have a car problem.
Hi, Lee. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, I feel like we're at a AAA meeting.
Oh, everybody's a comedian. Moving on, we'll introduce, we'll introduce Diana next as our operations manager. Diana, take it away.
Okay, so as Lee just said, I'm the operations manager. My whole intent is to take care of all of our offices and all of our clients, all of our customers. Your first top priority for me. So if you need something escalated, you need something answered right away, I'm the person you're going to come to, and I'll make sure it gets done. I'm also the place where you'd go if you have an issue with any kind of billing. So what I do in addition to that is site surveys, which I'm sure later on or as we go, we'll be talking about that. And I produce ICERs. So for those that are HIPAA, needing to be HIPAA compliant medical offices, I offer those and they're required. That's what the government is expecting to see. So I just make sure that to the best of our ability, you are safe regarding cybersecurity. Personally, I am not a caraholic like the person next to me. I own a Toyota 2005. Love it. Gonna keep it. There you go. But I also walk five miles a day. The older you get, the more exercise you should have. So that's what I enjoy doing. I listen to all kinds of podcasts, books on tape, whatever. So that's me in a nutshell.
All right. Thank you.
No comedic response.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Diana.
Thank you.
All right. Up next is Trevor.
Hey, I'm Trevor. I'm information security manager here. I'm dedicated to managing cybersecurity operations and technical support as needed. I actually used to work in medical offices. And one main reason why I love what I do, one of the previous offices I worked for was actually in a hack. And when you work for an entirely electronic company and you're down for 3 months because of this, it's a nightmare. So I definitely have appreciation for what we do and just stress to people, protect your stuff because it can happen to anyone. I mean, we weren't expecting to walk in on a Monday morning with all 50 computers down. So it's not to scare you, but I mean, it can happen to anyone and it's not any fun when it does. Little bit personally about me, you may be surprised, but I'm actually married with three kids. So I have a similar problem like Lee. When we want another one, we have another one. But that's all for me.
That's a whole different problem. All right. Oh, and last up, but not least, is Allison. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Allison. I am your friendly CoverSafe IT security analyst. I'm the newest member of the team, and I'm habitually the comic relief around here. My job is to take worry off your plate by monitoring the devices on your network for any indicators of compromise, so we can keep your information secure and keep your network up and running. In addition to this, I also answer questions and troubleshoot security and technology problems. I participate in the quarterly information security activity reports that we do to formally review each of our clients' networks and the content creation for this podcast, including the animated educational videos. My journey in cybersecurity is non-traditional. But in everything I've done, I do it because I'm passionate about helping people. I love supporting you so that you can do what you do best. One thing about me is I love baking. It's just a comfort. It's something fun. It's nostalgic. Or you can just channel a sense of adventure and try something new. I also love baking with my kids, which is always an adventure, whether it's new or not. And I love it.
All right. Excellent. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What's your favorite cookie that you like to bake?
The one that just came out of the oven.
Nice and warm.
Honest answer. I love brown batter. So brown batter is kind of like that basic chocolate chip cookie. It's the dough for that. So you just make the brown batter and then you can add in whatever. I had somebody give me a cookie once that was a brown batter cookie, and it had white chocolate, dark chocolate, cranberries, and like a whole bunch of stuff I wouldn't have put together in there. And it was really good. So I decided that was my favorite cookie base. And then I just kind of play around with whatever I happen to have. I would not advise putting Pop Rocks in cookies.
I browser cookies.
All right. We're going to move on to the next stage, and that's just Trevor and me just having a conversation about device reviews. So
bye, guys.
Let our teammate members drop off here. And so, Trevor, let me ask you a couple of questions here. So I mentioned device reviews. Run me through what exactly is a device review.
So a device review has a lot of aspects to it. And mainly what you're looking at is what is the device type, operating system, what kind of processor information. You look at all the different specs. We look at the programs that it's running, good or bad, or just bloatware, possibly. We look at browser extensions, make sure nothing there is suspicious, crazy. And we also check to see if the device can be encrypted or if it already is encrypted.
Okay. So you mentioned a couple of different things, bloatware. You know, that's a great point, because if you don't need it, why have it? At number one. And two, when you start talking about browser plugins, wow, I've seen those go bad in a big hurry. So no real question there, but.
Yeah, definitely. And a lot of the times when doing these reviews and going over them with our clients, they'll say, oh, I didn't realize that was on there. I downloaded it one time for this 10 years ago.
Right. And so, and inevitably, whenever anyone tells you I did this so many years ago, depending on the profession, it's times it by 2 to 4. If it's a doctor, you probably times it by 4. No real slam on anybody there, but time just gets away from people when they start talking about IT assets. So I assume you see the same thing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right. So we talked about the device reviews, looking at the age of the device, looking at the software, plugins, lots of different things. Why should anyone listen to this podcast care?
Well, you should really care for a couple of different reasons. I mean, you would care on the spec side of it, because it'd be nice to know if this device is going to crash at any moment, if it's going to reach its max memory capacity or hard drive capacity, and you suddenly need to go buy a new device. From the program aspect, it's nice to know if your device is vulnerable, already hacked, potentially opening doors to be hacked. And why you care should care about the encryption aspect is if you are hacked, are they getting your data?
Yeah.
Or are you secure?
Good points. You know, lots of different things. And you mentioned the age of the device and about to crash. It's not like, you know, not putting words in your mouth, but it's not like we have a crystal ball. But talk to the age of devices and what's a typical lifespan that doctors or small businesses should be depending on a device for?
What they should be depending on preferably would be 3 to a max of 5 years old. What do they actually depend on? How old was Diana's car? Yeah, I've seen some computers with a processor from 2006 before and still running. Sure, great. Keep using it till the wheels fall off of it, but don't be surprised when they do.
And right. And that's really the point. Hard drives don't last forever. CPUs don't last forever. You know, physical hard drives with the actual platters, they wear out. CPUs will eventually die. Power supplies will eventually die. And, you know, as you mentioned, Trevor, use them forever. I don't have a problem with it. But when it dies, what business function was dependent on that machine? It needs to be on another machine now. So, and I'll tell you, we have a policy at CairoSafe and at CyberSafe that we don't depend on a device that's more than 3 years old. 3 years. And the reason behind that is, one, everyone needs their computer. We're in IT. We need a computer. And I don't like going beyond the support of that device. No matter who makes it, we buy the support for it. Generally, it's a 3-year program. And at that point, it's really aged out. We might talk about this more in a future podcast, but that was a good one. Thanks for that, Trevor. So one last question. You mentioned software, and in browsers, we kind of talked about that a little bit, but why do you look at software? What's good? What's bad? Talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So a lot of the software that we're looking at, you know, and everywhere is different. Someone's going to have something we don't recognize that is a unique program to their specialty. Sure. We ask about it. Okay, great. We're fine with it. But you have a lot of programs you run into that are freeware, shareware. They do something at no cost to you. And what they do is they leave their programming open source so anyone can edit that code. And if you downloaded it at the time when that code was not secure, that just leaves a back door open for a hacker to get in. When you're using a reputable company that you're unfortunately paying for, that's just the beast of it, they're giving you better security. They're giving you a secure download most of the time. I'm putting a caveat on that. Most of the time. Always make sure even what you're paying for is good, because everyone makes mistakes. So make sure you're watching everything that's installed on your computer. Make sure you're keeping your programs up to date, even if they are good, because an out-of-date program is just as vulnerable as a brand new program that came out vulnerable. Yeah. So make sure you're on the most secure version. But yeah, we look at if there's already any antiviruses installed, any other security programs, backup programs that are taking snapshots or grabbing certain types of data. And if those are there, we like to make sure where that data is being backed up. Is it in the U.S.? Is it going offshore, is being stored somewhere? That's all good things you want to know, especially when dealing with other people's information. Games, we don't care for games. We typically uninstall those with a big red X. Yeah, exactly. And that's, yeah.
So let me dig into a couple different things there. You mentioned encryption. And so how if your device is not encrypted, can you speak to how easy it is to or hard to hack a device that's, and by hack, I mean get in without someone's username or password? How hard would it be to get into one of those devices?
Not hard at all. If I were to get in front of your computer, never been at the computer before, I can get in 5 minutes. And it's not because I'm any good. There's videos on YouTube that walk you through this. And as soon as you're in, I can see all of your files and folders. I can see the document that you have saved on your desktop that is all your passwords stored, I'm sure. So, yeah, not hard at all. So that's why we definitely recommend encrypting your data if you possibly can. If you can't, look into something that you can. Figure out a way to secure your data, secure your assets. Because, yeah, hackers don't care. They'll get whatever they can get and hold you responsible for it.
Right. And just for anyone watching the video, BitLocker, Windows own BitLocker encryption is good enough. So that's something that you can use to encrypt your devices. And it's encryption for your information at rest. So again, someone gets in front of your PC for whatever reason, or it gets stolen from you, it's always good to have it encrypted. And then that has other implications that we'll cover in future podcasts for, was the device encrypted when it was stolen? If it was, well, there's different things you need to do based on your actual regulation that you're adhering to. So, all right, Trevor, anything else on that topic or are we good to go?
Yeah, nothing else I can really think of pertaining to that aspect of it. I mean, another thing that's good to look at is what security you're putting in place, but that's a whole nother topic. Network security, whole nother topic. And really the hardware health kind of falls back on when the device may kick the bucket.
Yeah, right. And that's one thing I wanted to mention also, the encryption. What we found is as the devices get more than 4 or 5 years old, they don't deal with encryption well. And that's, I believe, simply an age of the hard drive issue. Not so much for solid state, but then you get into CPU issues. So that's a whole probably podcast. We could spend half an hour talking about that topic. And one thing that I'll mention that was interesting, Trevor, you mentioned two of our hacks this week that are in the news. So without even knowing it, you mentioned patching your software. Microsoft patch this week. Hit the news this week. It happened, I believe, two patch Tuesdays ago, where if you applied the patch, if it was applicable to you and you actually rolled it out, it would break your server, not your Windows PC, your server, the one in the back room doing your database work or whatever it's doing for you. Yeah. Microsoft put out a patch and then said, oh yeah, that patch we put out. Yeah. Don't apply it. Too late. It's already out there. Crash the servers. And they're working on a fix for that right now. The other one, I don't recall what that one was. Oh, yeah, software you pay for. In the news, it's actually about a month old, but there's a new news article on it. ConnectWise was their remote control program. ConnectWise is a remote monitoring and management tool, and they had a hack into their the remote connection tool part of their suite. And there's actually implications that was part of the Change Healthcare hack. So interesting that even if you pay for it, sometimes you're not secure. So, all right, let's bring back anyone that wants to contribute for our team members, and let's talk about the news. All right, there we go. So I mentioned the ConnectWise hack. That's one that, sorry, Allison, she was sitting there like, what about me? That's one that actually impacted a few of our actual customers where they had ConnectWise deployed for the remote control aspect of it. And wow, we shut that down really quick. But just because you pay for it, just because things are on your environment and give you secure access, you need to be secure. That goes back to Trevor's comment where he mentioned rolling out antivirus, ransomware protection, even endpoint detection and response software to really look deep into, hey, this software is approved. It's on the good list, but is it doing good things currently? So that one's just incredible. All right. The next article that I wanted to mention. There came out this last week. Chinese hackers breached 70, that's 70 different organizations. And I'll give you one guess how they did it. Anyone? How did these Chinese hackers breach 70 different organizations?
Guess is phishing.
Bingo. Oh. Phishing. So yeah, and we can do a whole series on this one too. If you're expecting these fishes to be, let me see, have bad English, wrong grammar, you're way behind the times. These things are going to be perfect because they're being so successful. So you need to be careful with fishes, with fishing. If you're not familiar with what a fish is, I'm not talking about F-I-S-H. These are phishing emails. That's right. Casting out there, Allison. That's right. No, these are emails that come to you that are scam, that might come from honedepot.com. It's a slight difference. You know, they're trying to get you to click on something, and they're either going to download a payload or take you off to a site where then you enter your information trying to log in, or hey, you know, Home Depot says I haven't paid my bill. I better go pay it right now. You click on the link and it's too late. So be careful with that. They're being successful. Yeah. All right. This one strikes near and dear to my heart. Apple Silicon. Anyone familiar with this article? Apple Silicon, meaning the M1, the M2, and the M3 processor in Apple's hardware. One of these things right here. Yeah. Their encryption has been hacked. Oh. And theoretically, there's no fix for this. Oh. There's no patch that they can go back. Yeah. I've got multiple of these. The team has these things. The Apple encryption has been hacked, and it's no longer secure. Now, there's a potential fix. From what I've read, the M3s can turn off a certain feature that does a read ahead to try and predict what you're wanting to do next. That's how they get the performance benefits and different things. By turning that off, one, your speed is going to be slower, and two, then the encryption hack is no longer viable. But stay tuned to this one. We'll mention this one in future podcasts as we dive into what are they going to do about this, because this is core foundational to Apple hardware. Unreal.
Mm. Absolutely. And I mean, how many times have we heard people say, oh, it's okay because I have an Apple, I'm more secure. And that's not necessarily true. And then you have events like this, which this isn't normal stuff that's posted on the everyday news or talked about on NPR or whatever you listen to on the radio. I sound old. I listen to NPR anyway. But it's really important to stay up with current events, especially with technology, the technology you use, the technology in your office, things that it's not necessarily your mojo, not what you do all the time, but it's at least good to be in the know about what's going on and how that can affect you in whatever you do best.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. So That one breaks my heart. I'll tell you, because I'm an Apple guy. I like my Windows. I've got my Windows. He's over there. That's what I'm working on today. But breaks my heart that Apple has been hacked like this. And then there was another one, a hack from years ago. I forget exactly when. AT&T's phone numbers were hacked at one point. Sorry to say, I was an AT&T customer. No defamation, no talking bad about them. But I was an AT&T customer at that time. I looked online. Yep, my phone number was one of the ones that was exposed, and my wife's was not. Go figure.
You're just specially. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm special. The side effect of that, I'm getting crazy amounts of text messages. Hey, how you doing? We should have dinner sometime. Just trying to get me to respond, trying to see if it's still valid. Absolutely unreal. So if you're getting this type of thing, you should go check out, was your phone number hacked? If you do AT&T phone number spill, it's It's called Spilled Online. I thought that was kind of funny. It's basically the hack happened years ago, and it was recently just re-exposed online. So very interesting. And the last article, American Express was hacked. We're not going to dive into this one in detail. If you have an American Express card, go to their site and dive into it. Find out what you need to know. But the point of this podcast is to really keep this down to what's important to small business owners, small healthcare organizations, the things that you guys use, you do. That's what we want to focus on. So you're not going to, these news articles are relevant. You have probably a Mac PC. You have, you know, email that you could get phished, all the different things that could happen to you. What you're not going to see here is, hey, the server, IIS server hack is out there, or your public facing could website could be denial of service attacked. Great. The folks in our industry that we end up helping don't have these things. And we try to make this relevant and expose those, just really keep those articles that are not pertinent to you out of your news. So if you like this type of content, if you like what we do here, please like this YouTube video, the podcast, subscribe, and come back for next week's episode. So we thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week.